We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
And now, Ned Yost's new pinch-hitting advisor, Soren Petro.
Oh, you're damn skippy on that. I'll tell you that straight out. I am available for decisions that need to be made in the 9th and 11th inning. If anybody is listening, this is one where they crapped the bed last night. There ain't any way around that.
Poop.
No. And when you make the mistake in the 9th, then it compounds itself later on.
Yes.
You know, there's one thing about talk radio that I think if you're listening to the program here, you're aware of. We have the answers.
Right.
Between us and our great listeners, we have all the answers. We are undefeated. The people that make the decisions just have to ask. That's all. Just ask us.
We'll tell you.
We have nailed every draft pick. We know exactly who to pitch it with, who to go to pitching-wise, who to start. We know what play to run at the end of a basketball game. 3 seconds, no problem. The old swinging gate. Saw it on Hoosiers. We have the answers. The guys like Ned and John Dorsey and Bill Self, all they got to do is ask us. And we would nail it.
But no, they're too proud.
All right, hashtag sarcasm there. I'm laying on thick. I hope you noticed on that. All right, but.
Picking up your sarcasm.
But. Last night we did have the answers. Last night, there's no sarcasm. Last night felt like Tom Hanks in A League of Their Own. I'd still want you to hit the cutoff, man. Where he's shaking and...
You're still missing the cutoff, man. That's something I'd like you to work on before next season.
That was how I felt in the night.
You're still not getting the pinch hitting for Mondesi thing.
And I don't know if you noticed, hitting, not a strength.
You're still batting a 120 hitter. In game situations now. That's something I'd like you to work on before the next game.
But let's pause. Okay. Let's put pause on that topic.
Pause.
We're going to pause on that topic, and I'm going to come back. We're going to hear Ned talking about that. But not now. We're going to pause on that.
Pause.
So Rob can do whatever the farting around he does to open the show over there. He's spinning around looking at monitors that don't work, pressing buttons that stick. I don't know what he's doing over there.
I never know what he's doing.
I don't know. Rob, the sound! We want it!
We want it now.
That's because the talk back button doesn't work. So we just shout through the glass. We're the little engine that could, and it's fun. So we're going to pause on Mondesi, okay? Let's put a pause on that. And let's back up, okay? But we're going to get to it. Mm-hmm. It was your throw that took me. I've got an order here. The throw took me to like 0.5. Let's go over a couple of things. First of all, there are positives to be understood here. The pitching was very good, okay? Let's talk some positives first, because I am not just a hater. If you will, okay? Not just going to hate. It's not going to happen. All right? They pitched. Jason Hamill came out and threw the ball well. Good sign. Starting pitching is the first most important thing in every game. And Denny taught me this as a youth. He's always preached it. It starts the tempo of the game. And if you don't allow anyone to score, you can't lose. And that's a big thing. And Jason Hamill did his job. Very good. I'm glad to see him kind of turn the corner. He's not falling off a cliff, just suddenly got old. He pitched well. The Giants are kind of an inept offense right now. They've got their own problems. Buster Posey just coming off the DL and so on and so forth. But Jason Hamill pitching, that's a very good sign. And big picture-wise, that's a step in the right direction. Peter Moylan continues to be a tremendous rugie and more when asked to do an inning or two. He's done that as well. But love him. If the bullpen can ever settle into the roles that I think they want everybody to handle, is going to be a great rugie, right-out-only guy. I mean, he comes in there and has just been nasty against right-handed bats. He comes in first and third, nobody out. Royals look like they're in trouble. He comes in and does his job in the seventh. Travis Wood came in. He's been a very good loogie, off to a crap, horrible start. But he's been a very good loogie. His career, his baseball card tells us he's going to be a good loogie for the Royals. Comes in, does his job, gets two outs, pitches around a walk, gets him out of there. Ned pressed the right buttons in the seventh. Very great stuff. Joaquin Soria, couple of hits, but I never felt like he wasn't in control of the inning. He continues to hang a zero ERA out there. Joaquin Soria, at a time when Matt Strom was struggling, they need him to be the eighth inning guy. He was the eighth inning guy last night. Great stuff. Kelvin Herrera on the ninth, number one, deployed properly because you want to make sure you get him in there. And he comes in to a game, and there are other guys that wouldn't have pitched him. But he comes into the game and does a great job. 12 pitches. I might even have thought about him for another inning. So, well, I'm going to have to set him on the shelf here after this game for a couple of days. But, you know, I want to keep the mojo going. I would have realistically, after 12 pitches, said, and the way he looked, I think I'm going another one with Kelvin Herrera. All right? Now, I know I'm going to have to sit him down. Ned didn't want to do it. There's nothing wrong with the way Ned played it. He played it, handled the ninth, gives his teams a chance to get it done in the ninth inning. And I think even Alexander is a good sign for overall bullpen depth. You know, I thought he battled and showed some promise in getting through the first inning. The longer he goes, the more trouble he's in. He's not going to be a three-inning guy, all right? This isn't the second coming of Andrew Miller. So overall, that was all a positive. Biggest problem. Look, I love the guy. Want him re-signed. Don't think it's going to happen. Probably wouldn't mess with it anymore. Would be pulling my offer off the table. But I will always have a great appreciation for what Eric Hosmer has given to this organization. I think Eric Hosmer is going to give more to this organization this year. But, man, does he blow right now. I mean, he blows like the wind. He sucks like a vacuum. He's terrible. Okay, at the plate, he is terrible. And he is the single biggest reason this offense sucks. Your three-hitter being an absolute black hole. Worse. Maybe not. Maybe black hole's right. Because not only is he a zero, but he's sucking the zeros in with him. Right? Black hole's probably perfect. Because this stat was out there on Twitter. Do you remember who we got a credit? You confirmed it.
That's all right. Yes, I got it. Here.
Somebody in the Twitter sphere. If you got it, it'd be great. I'd love to throw some love their way. They went, put pen to paper. Curtis confirmed this. Eric Hosmer's had 13 at-bats with runners in scoring position. 13 at-bats with runners in scoring position.
Our friend Scott.
And according to Scott, confirmed by Curtis, those 13 at-bats with runners in scoring position, Eric Hosmer's whipped up 15 outs! 15!
15.
50, not 50, 15, 1-5 outs.
Mm-hmm. Not easy to do.
I mean, that is the biggest issue, all right? And we're going to hear part of that and what Ned Yost is going to say to you here in a second. Because the topic of pinch hitting for Raul Mondesi was probably the biggest subject for everybody, but the guys who get the checks have to perform. You get the checks because the back of your baseball card says, this guy will get it done. And when the guy getting the check, and no, Eric Hosmer's not on a $100 million contract, but he is, I'm going to look here. This year, he is the third highest paid guy on the team based on this year's salary, behind only Alex Gordon and Ian Kennedy. When you're the third highest paid guy on the team this year, got to get it done. Ian Kennedy's come around. Alex Gordon's not doing a whole hell of a lot for his check either. And his 1-for-4 last night, not incredibly productive either.
No.
And, you know, the problem with the Royals offense is Alex Gordon's 513 OPS and Eric Hosmer's 519 OPS. That is the problem with the offense. Above everything else, let's be clear. We're about to commence crapping on Raul Mondesi's game, not the individual player. We're going to do that. We're going to crap on Ned Yost's decision, his pinch-hitting decisions. Not Ned Yost, the manager, who I thought managed an exceptional game from the pitching standpoint, which in my mind is job one. Job one. And again, if you're new to the program, we've talked to Ned about this. Ned says it's job two. Job one is managing the personalities. I say if you can understand makeup as an organization, you should have guys that you don't really have to put a diaper on them and coddle them or go break up fights in the clubhouse all the time. So I expect them to be men and adults, which is a lot to ask of guys who continue to live by the code of the high school locker room oftentimes. So there is a management level to it. But for God's sake, you should be able to handle yourselves. I say, number one, handle the pitching. Ned did it. Two, handle the personalities. Three, line up and pinch hitting. That's the order of specifics. But Alex Gordon and Eric Hosmer are getting paid. Raul Mondesi, on a baseball scale, is making nothing. The single biggest problem for this baseball team right now is Eric Hosmer and Alex Gordon aren't hitting. And they're paid handsomely to hit the baseball. So let's be clear. We paused on Mondesi because I know that was the big topic on the Twitter sphere. But these two guys are getting paid to get it done, and they're not. They're the biggest problems. Paul Orlando is a problem, not the biggest problem. He's not getting paid. He's getting chump change for the Major League Baseball world. When Bryce Harper doesn't hit, he's the problem. Okay? When Robinson Cano doesn't hit, he's the problem. It's not the snot-nosed kid who's been shoved through the organization way too fast. That's not the problem. When your games are coming down to this, it should have never come to Raul Mondesi. Matt Cain blows. He hadn't been the same guy. He hadn't been the Cy Young caliber pitcher since 2012. He is not off to a good start. He's been a Pez dispenser to begin the year. Their bullpen hasn't been good, and you can only get one run across the board. It's the big boys that you blame first and foremost. All right, so let's throw the blame on Eric Hosmer for the, you know, I said the village he stranded. For the year, he's stranded two of the five boroughs of New York. I mean, a lot of people have been left on base by Eric Hosmer. Big fan of the guy, and he's going to come around. The back of his baseball card says he's going to come around. Now we transition to Raul Mondesi. Because there is no back of the baseball card that says Raul Mondesi is going to come around. And this is where Ned Yost gets held accountable. And this is where the theme we have talked about since spring training started. And whether or not Mondesi was going to be the guy and where the young guys are going to fit in. And that, look, you're all in. This is a team that can win. Well, winning and then running out guys who can't hit under the pretenses of, well, in a couple of years, it's really going to help us. Well, then let's put Chesler Cuppert in the lineup. And let's get better for 2019. Let's get Whit Merrifield in the lineup and get better for 2019. Let's get Jorge Bonifacio. He's been farting around down in the minor leagues long enough. There isn't anything else left to be done down there with him. If he's potentially one of the guys, let's get him up here and get him in the lineup. And let's move the guys that are sitting in front of him for guys that can help you in 19. Let's be about 2019. As a fan base, we will embrace you. No, we won't buy as many tickets, but your payroll won't be the same either. You won't need as many tickets to break even. Let's get on to it. This has been the problem. Serving two masters, trying to win now while also developing guys. And you're not developing with a rookie who's ready to go compete. Nobody had Raul Mondesi on their rookie of the year list. Nobody. There are no expectations anywhere in baseball that this guy is going to have a successful season, except for in the Royals front office. And I will bow to their Svengali ability to know baseball. We know they know baseball better than me, but to really be able to take one that nobody else in baseball, no one else at least that covers baseball, and the other scouts that I've talked to thinks Raul Mondesi is going to have a successful season at the plate this year for the Royals. I will bow to their greatness if somewhere along the line it clicks and this guy just has survival statistics up there. But I don't think it's coming. And so last night, he stayed in the game in the ninth inning. By the way, new to the program, new to baseball, ninth inning, you lead after that when you're at home. Game over. It's the first of all the innings from then on that you lead. At that point, it is game over. And Raul Mondesi swung the bat. Raul Mondesi swung the bat. Let me point out that Raul Mondesi swung the bat over Paul Orlando, a guy you say can really hit. That this is a fact. He can hit. He swung the bat over him. Raul Mondesi swung the bat over Chesler Cuppert, a guy that you say is an everyday guy that has no options. It's on this roster. That performed last year. Hit home runs. Hit double-digit home runs between the minors and the big leagues last year. Raul Mondesi swung the bat ahead of Christian Colon, who everybody who talks about Christian Colon reminds us that has come up with some of the most clutch hits in Royals history. Was last night not clutch situation time? Chesler Cuppert, you've said, can play second base. You've played him at second base. Christian Colon is a second baseman. Paul Orlando plays the outfield where Whit Merrifield was playing. You can move Whit Merrifield into second base and put Paul Orlando in the outfield. One move. Three different guys who could pinch hit. All three, this organization has told us and have backed it up by putting them out in the field in these positions. Three different options. Yet Raul Mondesi swung the bat. Here's why. Ned Yost talked about it after the game. Choosing to let Raul Mondesi swing the bat against a right-hander. Derek Law with two on and two out in the ninth.
Well, I like the platoon option there, lefty on the righty, yes. And, you know, we talk about it. Should we pinch it for Mondi here and to a man, but Dale, Walk, Pedro, myself, nobody would recommend it. We just all felt like Mondi, guy's going to throw him a fastball, a good fastball hitter, and he can make something happen.
Kind of part of Mondi's development, too, that he's got to learn those situations like Eske did and some of the younger guys.
Yeah. Yep, I mean, those are tough situations right there, and the more experience you have at it, the better off you're going to be in the long run.
And what in the ninth, what are your other options are you considering there? Is it Chesler? Is it Colon? Is it all the...
For who?
For
Mondi. Yeah, I mean, we can talk about Mondi to our blue in the face. We're 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. We pick up one of those runs, we're not even talking about it. So, doesn't it, in the big scheme of things, Mondi's not the problem.
Okay. Let me say this. Is that right? So yep. This doesn't even back up what he did?
Yeah, that's his career numbers, minors, majors, against lefties, against righties.
You've got that label correctly. Versus lefties,
yep.
And versus righties.
I will check a second time.
Because yeah, just because that kind of scared me a little bit. In the big leagues, first of all, on the concept of Raul Mondesi having a better shot against a right-hander. When he faces right-handed pitching, and these numbers are so pathetically low. I mean, to me, it's the exact same thing. There's no difference. He has been completely overwhelmed by any and all pitch. Somebody could throw it up there with their foot at the big league level, and I think they would still get him out. And it doesn't matter whether it was their right foot or left foot, because he is completely overwhelmed.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah, I'm double checking you there. Against left-handed pitching, big leagues, 472 OPS, 174, 255, 217 for a 472. 5 points lower in batting average against righties, which is the matchup. Well, no, the platoon split there, righty against lefties. Big leagues, 169, 202, 282 for a 484 OPS. 12 more points in OPS. Most of that comes. It's actually 53 points lower in on base It's 5 points lower in batting average. It comes from the slug. So he has hit all three of his big league home runs against right-handed pitching. So from that standpoint, if you're looking to run into one, but you didn't need a home run there. You needed a run.
Yeah.
So you kept him in there to hit a three-run homer, right? There were 2 men on in the ninth.
Yes, first and second.
First and second.
2 men on both times, actually.
Yeah. So you left him in there to hit a home run? Because the only statistic that bears keeping him in there was to hit a home run. Well, you're tied in the ninth, and yet you leave him in there. You take his minor league and his big league numbers combined against right-handed pitching. He's got a 532 OPS. Against left-handed pitching, he's got a 629. So actually for his career, professional career, he's better the other way. Yet you left him in there twice. Twice. Now, I almost get it the second time. It's like, well, blank. We left him in there in the ninth. I can't do it now.
Yeah, and everyone, plus almost everyone else, is gone. They could have let Drew Butera bat, I guess, and he could have, because they had already pulled Perez.
Pulled Perez.
And the person that, and
that was the option.
It would have worked
Drew
perfect.
Butera.
It was almost like a National League.
It would have, just like Paul Orlando would have worked, because you can bring in Whit Merrifield, which is part of the reason why you have Whit Merrifield on the team. So that in those situations, you can push him all over the diamond and make it fit. That's his freaking value. The Tampa Bay Rays started that, and Joe Maddon's carried it on over to the Cubs, where we can do whatever we need to do at the plate because Ben Zobrist can play right and left and second and short and third, and we can put guys wherever. And the Cubs do it with Javier Baez. They do it with half their roster, for God's sake. But he didn't do it. And we're just going to play the first few seconds. This is where you know that they screwed the pooch, okay? And first of all, I'll tell you when to stop. I want you to hear. Tell me if this sounds. He's been a manager for a long time. He knows what question's coming. He knows this question's coming. And I'm not one to spend a lot of time reading into something. But good Lord, tell me if this sounds like a guy who really loves the answer that's about to come out of his mouth.
Well, I like the platoon option there, lefty on the righty, yes. And we talk about it. Should we pinch hit for Mondi here and to a man, but Dale, Walk, Pedro, myself, and
right,
nobody
stop,
would
stop.
Recommend.
Okay, let's hear the opening again. Just the first three seconds. Let's hear this.
Oh. I like the platoon.
All right. You know this question's coming.
Yeah.
And that is a guy that does not like his answer. There's a little psych 101 for you.
And it's also you juxtapose it to other times where he's been very, very adamant of his answer, and he's almost answering the question before you finish it. He knows what's coming, and he has the answer, boom, and he likes it, and it's out there. He doesn't usually do that.
Then let's progress. Go ahead and give it to me again.
I like the platoon option there, lefty on the righty, yes. And we talk about it. Should we pinch it for Mondi here and to a man, but Dale, Walk, Pedro, myself, nobody would recommend it. We just all felt like.
Well, I hope that's a lie. I hope that's a lie, because if it's not a lie, you got a bunch of blanking yes men around you. And somebody in that group, it's okay if you want to overrule them. First of all, I don't even like anybody else's name being brought up in this. If I'm the GM, I'm like, dude, Ned, it says manager on your office door. You're the only one with an office. Fall on that one for me, would you? That's you. Well, we talked about it, and the Larry Moe and Curly were on board too. No, I better not be. Or get some different Larry Moe and Curlys. Somebody better said, come on, guys. Now, if you're like, hey, I got a hunch, I got a feeling, or we're going to stick with this kid, we're going to show confidence. Fine. You wear it. I'm terrified if nobody said, whoa, 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 guys, it ain't 2011. We're trying to win something here. We got other bats. Let's go get them. Now, once you do that in the ninth, and then in the 10th, you pinch run for Mike Moustakas with Paul Orlando. Now you've burnt Chesler Cupert because he's got to come play third. Although, again, Whit Merrifield is an option to go play third. And to keep Chesler Cupert there to have a bat to swing and to give you some flexibility. But you don't do it. Paul Orlando's now a pinch runner? That's what he is for this team? He's Terrence Gore? Then get Terrence Gore back up here. And get a guy who can actually steal a base. Of course, he doesn't run when he's supposed to anyway.
The reason why he's not here is because he didn't.
Why he's not here. Last night sucked. It sucked. It was a disaster. It goes on the Stars. It goes on the money guys. Ned Yost makes a good check, too. It's on him. And if his lieutenants were all on board on batting Mondesi, no. And if they don't get this kid out of here soon, then I question what they're thinking. Because he does not look like – did he look like a confident guy to you? After he swung and missed, he sure as hell didn't to me. He looked like a kid who was like, whoa. And by the way, bat not close to ball. It's one game. It's one game. One very frustrating, yank your hair out of your head game. It's a game that, to me, enough. Enough. And you've got to wonder, where would this team have been if Whit Merrifield had broken with this team? A guy that we all knew and has now proven it with his numbers in the minors compared to Mondesi's numbers in the bigs. And now already his numbers in the bigs compared to Mondesi's numbers in the bigs. He's a better hitter than Raul Mondesi today. And frankly, I'm no scout, but I have not seen guys swing and miss the way this guy swings and misses. If there's more than Alcides Escobar here. Pop, okay, bigger frame. Yeah, I'll buy that there's more pop. Frequency of contact, I don't buy that yet. I mean, maybe I'll see it, but there's nothing about his minor league numbers that say it, other than the fact that he's young. And at some point, that wears out. Some point, and I'll tell you when that some point is, when you're on the blanking big league roster, is when the numbers have to outweigh your age. And that's not happening with this team. They're making a mistake to this point. We'll see if the payoff is there and they end up being geniuses. But they blew it last night in a big, big way. 913-310-810. Take your phone calls. 913-310-810. Talking Royals baseball. Got a lot more coming your way. Jim Bowden's going to join us. Talk about contracts for the young players. Wrote a great piece at ESPN about that. Frank Bowl with us in the noon hour. Gabe DeArmond's going to be with us in the 1 o'clock hour. You're on the program right now.